I do not believe there is a one-size-fits-all approach to motherhood. And for that matter, I certainly do not believe that there's a one-size-fits-all model for being a working mom. In fact, gone are the days of everybody looking at a job as a 9-to-5 or an 8-to-5. Now we're seeing women take charge of their own schedule, take charge of their own career, and possibly even having multiple careers at the same time in order to live a life of blend or balance that they had always dreamed of. And today's guest, Amy Fiore, is going to be talking about how she crafted her own life and her own career that is completely unconventional, but done in a way that makes sense for her. So if you are interested in creating a life that works for you and recognizing that the normal 9-to-5 or 8-to-5 job may not be the right fit for you, then you're in the right place and you'll definitely want to hear Amy's story. So let's go ahead and dive on in. Hey there, welcome to Working Mom Moments. Do you find yourself craving work-life balance and wishing you had more time in your day? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling how to get it all done, how to increase energy, or even searching for flexible jobs? Hey there, I'm Lacey. I too am a working mom that has struggled with the juggling act of getting it all done. I wanted more energy, less stress, and honestly, a little time to do something for myself. But I kept telling myself, well, this is just the way of life for working moms, and I had to power through until I found a little secret. I needed to get unstuck in order to create a life I truly enjoyed at home and at work. In this podcast, you'll find that secret too. You'll find time-saving solutions, motivation for the hard days, and a roadmap to mindset transformation. If you're ready to thrive as a working mom, you're in the right place. Block off this time on your calendar as a meeting with yourself, and let's dig in. Hey y'all, do you want to come hang out with a group of working moms who get what it's like to juggle career and motherhood? Inside the free Working Mom Moments Facebook group, you'll get support, encouragement, time-saving solutions, motivation for the hard days, and really strategies to help with the mental load of being a working mom. Simply head over to facebook.com/groups/workingmommoments. Also, I would love for you to become an insider and get regular emails from me, including the latest blogs and podcast episodes so you don't miss a thing, and tips and perspectives to help you find better balance and more joy as a working mom. Simply head over to laceyjungman.com/insider. I'll see you there. Welcome back to Working Mom Moments. I am Lacey Jungman, your host, and today I have Amy Fiore, who is going to share a little bit about her out-of-the-box lifestyle as a working mom, how she got here, and what to do when maybe you don't conform to the ways of the world and you want to create your own life by your own design, but it doesn't always fit into what we think of as working moms. And how do we create our own life that makes sense for us, staying true to who we are? So Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lacey. I am so glad to be here.
I really set you up for a lot.
You sure did. Okay, no pressure.
That was a lot of stuff that we're going to talk through today. And why don't you start by sharing, and I like this, and we'll go backwards from here, but sharing where you're at today, what it is that you do, share a little bit about your two kids that you have.
Sure. So it's funny. It's a complicated answer as to what do I do. The simplest way to describe it is I am a nonprofit consultant, which means I work with organizations that are trying to make the world a better place for, in many ways, sometimes in health, sometimes human services, sometimes education or the arts. I help them sometimes with fundraising, sometimes with strategic planning. I do a lot of board development and organizational leaderships that basically focusing on the status quo of an organization and what is working for an organization and what isn't. And that way of working is actually kind of how I structure my own life too. So in addition to being a consultant with nonprofits, I have my own permanent client where I serve as the director of development for an incredible organization that some moms may actually know. It's called Story Pirates. It is the number one podcast for kids and families in the world. And I am the chief development officer for the nonprofit arm, making sure that the programming is accessible to under-resourced kids throughout the country. I also run my own little theater company here in New Jersey. So I do a lot of different things depending on the moment. And I'm a mom. mom, and I got two girls. I have a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old. So a lot of hats and a not terribly large head that, so I just swap them out pretty regularly.
I love that, because what you're proving is that there's a lot of ideas out there of what work might look like. And I quote work in the air, right? Because work looks different for different people. And all moms are technically working moms because we're all working hard to take care of our kids. But what you've done here is created a life that works for you in a variety of different areas that are not just one position. You've really branched out into a variety of different careers all at once. So walk me through and us through how you got to this point.
So I started as a musical theater performer, and I realized quickly that if I wanted to move out of my parents' house, which I really wanted to do, I needed to get myself a real job. I found my way into arts administration. I decided to go and look for jobs working in theater so that I could further the missions of nonprofit theater organizations. So when I got married and decided to start a family, it was also an interesting thing because of this young industry. I was a rare breed. There was no precedent set by most of the women I knew, even most people in leadership. And so I started talking about what we used to call telecommuting, right? I was incredibly fortunate that there were just a couple women in my industry that had not done that, but were willing to talk to me about it and were willing to sort of say, yeah, let's make it work. But there was some suspicion from them and concern from them, and even more so from my colleagues who saw it as an advantage that I was getting. And so I had this massive chip on my shoulder of, I am working full time, and therefore I'm going to deliver and be better at performing than everybody else. I am going to make sure that I am so indispensable at this organization that you don't notice the fact that I'm only in the office physically 3 days a week, because this was so far before the pandemics, you know. 17 years ago, it was, in my industry, it was nearly unheard of. The challenge is I didn't have anyone sort of looking out for me on a social, emotional level that didn't say, hey, Aim, you're going to burn out at the level you're going. This isn't sustainable. But I just pursued, and I kept thinking, I need to keep on going up this ladder. And I'm going to get higher jobs, and I'm going to move myself up to, you know, to director level positions and executive director positions. And I was the one that if somebody left in a position, there were small organizations, 10, 15 employees, I would just absorb the position. Nobody paid me anymore. I just wanted to be indispensable. That was really where I started. And this goes back now only about 6 years ago that I was at the point of working my entire life while I was home a couple days a week. My entire being was work. You know, I didn't sleep or eat, and I looked like I had it all together, but inside I was falling apart, because who can be good at all of these things at all times? The other thing that I was dealing with in that time was the women I was working for came from a generation before me who had moved forward in men's worlds. And so they, whether they were reporting to someone else or reporting to a board of directors, they felt a distrust on them. And so therefore they micromanage. I've listened to some of your episodes about flexibility, and I was thinking about how flexibility equals trust, giving someone flexibility, not micromanaging, not doing, I believe, what you call ass in seat, right? Not focusing on that means that you trust someone. And the women that I was working for didn't feel like they were trusted, so therefore they couldn't trust the people underneath them. I basically just sort of created this incredibly toxic life for myself. The last of those positions, you know, unfortunately, was working for someone who was just unkind. And I did the movie style version of quitting a job. I still can't believe I did it, but love to tell you I wasn't crying when I did it. Totally was crying, where I was like, this is too much. What you have asked me to do, the lack of trust that I've proven myself to you over and over again. And I had thought that I was going to be fired that day anyway. So when I called him to be like, I think I just quit my job. And he's like, you think? And I'm like, no, like I definitely did. And I knew I needed to do something else. And what I needed was someone to not own my hours. And so I need to mention that, you know, part of the reason why I was able to work this hard is because my husband and I fully share parenting duties, you know, so thank God for that, that, you know, that we share a lot of that, that makes it all possible. I went on to playbill.com and I started looking at these jobs, and there were these part-time high-level positions, part-time director of development, which is a fundraising position, part-time executive director, you know, and it would be like 20 hours a week. And I started playing name that tune with them in my own mind of like, 20 hours, I can do that in 15. And like, if I get three of these jobs, it's 45 hours a week. I can totally do that. I wouldn't be commuting anymore. Let me do that. My husband's very much like, just find a new job. And I'm like, no, I don't want to work for someone. I want to try to work for myself. And I'm hoping you can just believe in me. Give me a couple months and see if I can make this happen. And he was incredibly nervous. We have mortgage. We live in the Northeast, which is an incredibly expensive place to be. Two kids. And so I just started applying. I applied to both. And the first one that came through actually was my friends at Story Pirates. And I kind of filled them in and I was like, listen, I'm about to make my life super complicated. I don't know how long this is going to take. And they were incredibly kind. And they said, we're going to wait for you. And weirdly, that kind of like opened up the universe. And the rest of the pieces kind of fell into place. I found two more of these jobs really quickly and also started talking to this nonprofit consulting firm. I kind of cobbled it all together and I created this consulting thing that wasn't consulting. I literally was an employee at three different places. And actually finding enough time to get it all done was easy because I'm a mom, so I'm efficient and I know how to do that. That is ultimately, it's a version of what I'm doing today.
I love that. I think that is such an amazing story because it highlights so much of what us as working moms, we're high achievers, right? We're doers. We juggle so much. And you painted the picture so perfectly of an employee or a team member that is a working mom that is, I suppose the best way to put it would be such extreme achievement is important to them. And I see that in your story kind of woven through, like you're willing to take on three jobs at one time and be an executive role. But back then, let's back up into this story here where you were really, you had women that distrusted you because of the distrust placed on them. And this was many years ago, of course, but at the same time, how did you work through that emotionally? And what was that process? Because I imagine that there's listeners today who, regardless of male or female that they might report to, they might feel a bit of distrust. How did you try to work through that? And when did you know you were up against the brick wall and it was time to say goodbye?
The psychoanalytics of it, right? Of these were women who were distrusted. So therefore they distrusted their employees. That is all in hindsight. Then I did the thing of, but if I just work harder to please them, they will like me more. And again, you know, looking back on it, I actually think what I was doing was I was making them dependent on me and also incredibly resentful of me because I pretended that I had it all together. Nobody saw the panic. I didn't show it. So it came out at home and it came out, you know, when like then my kid would spill something and I would like lose my mind, right? And so the way I saved myself and kept myself in those positions was I actually then tried to protect the people that worked for me from that level of challenge, right? That it was, I am going to make a choice to not be that kind of manager, that I could internalize this and I could absolutely extend it. And it's not the choice I want to make. It reached a breaking point. I think it was when I started talking to my daughters about wanting to make a change. And one of my girls said to me, but wait, would that mean that you wouldn't be somebody's boss anymore? It was fascinating to hear that. What they knew that to mean was mommy's in charge and also mommy can fire people. And that killed me because that was the first thing that popped in my mind was, you know, they as little girls heard the power, oh, you get to fire someone, not knowing that having had been in that position and how gut-wrenching and awful a thing that is to have to do. Mommy doesn't want to do that anymore. And if that's what I've taught you about working, about being an adult, about being a, you know, a powerful woman, but you can't see that I am so unhappy, then I'm teaching you all of the wrong things.
I love your perspective. because I've experienced that same thing here recently with my own children, right? I had recently made a change in my own career back into healthcare, into senior living. And I remember telling my children, oh, mom's going to be doing this now. And their response to me was, so are you not going to be leading a team? Are you not going to be the boss? What is your new title? And it was all around the title and what was presumed to be power to them. And so it's so fascinating that from a young age, that's what we glean into. And as working moms or women, you know, we're taught to kind of climb that ladder. And yet when you get to that, so often women are saying, well, is this all that it is? This? Is there more? Yeah. Through this journey as a working mom, tell me more about how you got your kids on board, how you were able to craft a little bit more work-life balance by kind of coming full circle, right? You were trying to please other people. At some point you realize like, yeah, this is not true to me. This is not good for me. You had conversations with your girls, with your husband. And then how has life changed? How did you progress through that road? Talk a little bit about that, your journey as a working mom.
Sure. It's funny. Actually, I have a different experience for each of my girls and what got them on board. For my older daughter, who is a theater kid, it was, I'm going to carve out more time to start a theater company for us. I'd been doing a little bit of it, but I was going to be able to create more time. And it's her favorite thing to do. And so carving out time to really build up this theater company that was such a big part of her life was what got her on board. And for my little one, I mean, Story Pirates got her on board because she became an immediate fan, which I loved. And it's interesting, what got my husband on board was after his initial suspicion and hesitation and worry, when the first couple paychecks came in and he was like, all right, fine, I have to admit you, yeah, you were right. You know, the thing that he doesn't ever want to say. And it was that, those were the pieces that came together. And then something interesting happened. I started talking to a nonprofit consulting firm, the one that I'm with now, and they actually pointed out how much I was undervaluing myself. And I said, oh, and they said, well, can we put you in on some clients and pay you more? And I was like, well, yes, you can. But what was bothering me was this one client that I liked so much that I was like, I can't charge them that much. They can't afford to pay it. I can drop the others. That's fine. They can't afford to pay it. And the thing that got me on board myself was, wait a minute, if I'm being paid more for this other work that I enjoy, but I can then charge this one company that I like the most less because now I can afford to work for them. That was also the thing that got me on board, that I was like, okay, this actually all works, that I'm carving out a life for myself, that I'm doing work that's meaningful. I'm doing work that I'm good at. You have the good ones and the bad ones, but I have one that I love that can't afford to pay me at scale, but I don't need them to. And nobody owns my time. So I'm able to do this other passion project of mine. And no one's allowed to say, why aren't you at your desk at 4 o'clock? Because nobody owns those hours.
I wanted to really kind of pick your brain on how you juggle it all. Because as we think about, like, one of the hot topics that we often hear about is work-life balance. And I really lean into this work-life blend notion rather than balance. But, you know, if we're thinking about balance, like, you have a lot of clients, you have two daughters in their teenage years, and they're going through a lot of changes, a lot of emotional changes, probably geographical changes as they get ready to graduate high school. And you have a husband. How do you do it all? What advice would you give to working moms today?
Some days I do it great and some days I don't. There are days that my family will have to knock on my home office door and be like, hey, are we going to have dinner tonight? Like, legitimately, there are days that that happens. The way I do it is I live by a calendar, and I've already started teaching. I'm insistent that my family all do the same thing, that we block out time. We're very intentional about it. And my girls have learned the hard lesson of, if you want me to drive you somewhere, you have access to our Google Calendar. It's time for you. You got to put it in. And if you don't put it in, I can't guarantee that I'm going to be available to you. And that's a hard thing, right? Like, that's a terrible thing to have to say. And yet they've learned some hard lessons that way. They've learned how to be independent, where it's, you know, well, but I really want to do this thing. Well, then I guess somebody else's mom is going to have to drive you there. We talk about it a lot. And my kids understand and they value that I am two things, that I have a whole part of my life that is not theirs and doesn't belong to them. And I see it in their own ambition. But they also know that when we mark time on the calendar older, that is family time, then that is family time. And then I will turn it off. So it's about organizations, about a little bit planning ahead and forgiving each other when we mess it up, and because we will, but that's pretty much how we do it.
I love it. And it speaks to boundaries. Boundaries are when I'm family time, this is family time. And not that we have to compartmentalize, but really, like, it's healthy for your kids to know that you will show up and you will be present at this time. But it's also healthy for them to understand grace, forgiveness when things don't go perfectly, and to understand and how to be adaptable when they don't. And it's helpful for us too in relieving some of that mom guilt. So thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate it. Any last words for our working moms that are listening?
There is always another option. It might not be a parent. There's someone in your life who can see it for you. There's something in your life that does make sense. You have to take a step back and look at everything holistically to find that. But there's always another option. There's always another path. If you are willing to work at it, if you're willing to be patient, if you're willing to be creative, there's always another way to make your life work.
I love that. And to contact Amy, I will put her information in the episode description, as well as a link to Story Pirates, the podcast. Thank you so much, Amy. I appreciate you. I hope this episode has helped you, and I'd love for you to come and join and share your favorite working mom tip in my free community, where we discuss mindset, motivation, time-saving strategies, and so much more. I'll meet you over at Facebook.com/groups/workingmommoments. And be sure to sign up for my insider email at laceyjungman.com/insider. I'll see you there. Hey y'all, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 quick seconds and share it with a friend who may need to hear this message as a working mom? Also, please leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. It lights me up when I hear from listeners to know that this podcast is helping you. Okay, time to cross a few more things off my never-ending to-do list. I know you can relate. So I'll meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Until our next Working Mom moment, have a beautiful day.